months later, and with a probably plenty of background noise I'm not going to worry about. I just need to get a couple chapters out, so bear with me. It's Leviticus chapter 16. Here we go. And Jehovah spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, as they drew near before Jehovah, and they died. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Speak to your brother Aaron, and he shall not come in at all times to the sanctuary within the veil, to the front of the mercy seat. With this Aaron shall come into the sanctuary, with a bullock, a son of the hand, for a sin offering, a son of the herd, for a sin offering, and a ram, for a burnt offering. He shall put on a holy linen coat and linen underpants." Linen underpants shall be on his flesh, and he shall gird himself with a linen girdle, and he shall wrap himself in a linen mitre. I don't know why linen's so hard to say right now, but boy, I'm having troubles with that word. They are holy garments, and he shall bathe his flesh with water and shall put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall bring near the bullock of the sin offering, which is his own, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take 2 goats, and shall cause them to stand before Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall give lots over the two goats. And Aaron shall give lots over the two. One lot for Jehovah, and 1 lot for a scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring near the goat on which the lot of Jehovah fell, and shall make it a sin offering. And the goat on which the lot for a scapegoat fell shall be caused to stand living before Jehovah to make atonement by it, to send it away for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Man, I forgot how small this writing is. It always takes me a second to kind of get my eyes to adjust so I can read this, because the sentences are like an inch long. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is his own, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is his own. And he shall take a censer full of coals of the fire from off the altar before Jehovah, and his hands full of fragrant perfumes beaten small, and perfumes beaten small. I think I just repeated that twice. Off the altar before Jehovah, and his hands full of fragrant perfumes beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Jehovah, and the cloud of the incense shall cover the mercy seat which is on the testimony, and he shall not die. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and shall sprinkle with his finger on the front of the mercy seat eastward. And he shall sprinkle at the front of the mercy seat 7 times from the blood with his finger. And he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is the people's, and shall bring in its blood to the inside of the veil, and shall do with its blood as he has done with the blood of the bullock, and shall sprinkle it on the mercy seat and at the front of the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the sanctuary because of the pollutions of the sons of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of the congregation, which is dwelling in the midst of their pollutions. And not any man shall be in the tabernacle of the congregation as he goes in to make atonement in the sanctuary until he comes out. And he shall make atonement for himself and for his house and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar which is before Jehovah and shall make atonement for it. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and shall put it on the horns of the altar all around. I think it's horns. It looks like homs, H-O-M-S, but I think the R is just exceptionally close to the N, I think. If you're biblical and you know what homs is, that makes more sense than go with that. I don't know what that is. I'm rolling with horns. All right. And he shall sprinkle on it from the blood of his finger 7 times, and shall cleanse it, and shall purify it from the uncleanness. And he shall purify it from the uncleannesses of the sons of Israel. That is a weird uncleannesses. Uncleanness is what it should say, but the uncleannesses, I guess it's multiple uncleannesses. That's too much. That's seems like an unnecessary word, like it's over-explaining itself, but whatever. You shall purify it from the uncleanliness of the sons of Israel. And when he, having finished atoning for the sanctuary and the tabernacle, the congregation and the altar, and having brought near the living goat, then Aaron shall lay his two hands on the hand of the living goat and shall confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, and shall put them on the head of the goat and shall send it by the hand of a chosen man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear on him all the iniquities to a land cut off, and he shall send the goat away into the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall strip off the linen garments which he had put on as he went into the sanctuary, and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his flesh with water in the holy place, and shall put on his garments, and shall come out, and shall offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and shall make atonement for himself and for his people. And he shall burn and he shall burn as incense the fat of the sin offering on the altar. And he who let the goat go for a scapegoat shall wash his garments and shall bathe his flesh with water. And afterwards he shall come into the camp. And he shall come into the camp. I guess I left that a little high there, like there was something more coming. But, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. And the bullock of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood has been brought in to make atonement in the sanctuary, one shall carry out to outside of the camp, and they shall burn their skins with fire, and their flesh and their dung. Oh, the more burning of the poop. And that's just so weird. And he who shall burn them shall wash his garments and shall bathe his flesh with water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. And it shall be for a never-ending statute, in the seventh month, in the tenth of the month, you shall humble yourself and do no work, the native and the alien who is staying in your midst. For on this day he shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you from all your sins. You shall be clean before Jehovah. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and it shall humble yourself. It is a never-ending statute. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whose hand he shall consecrate to act as priest instead of his father, shall make atonement. And he shall put on the linen garments as the holy garments. And he shall put on the linen garments, the holy garments. And he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar he shall make atonement, yes, for the priests. And for all the people of the congregation he shall make atonement. And this shall be to you a never-ending statute, to make atonement for the sons of Israel because of all their sins once a year. And he did as Jehovah had commanded Moses. Whoa. Chapter 17. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded, saying, Any man of the house of Israel who kills an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, who kills at the outside of the camp, and has not brought it into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation as an offering to Jehovah before the tabernacle of Jehovah, before the tabernacle of Jehovah, blood shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood. And that man shall be cut off from the midst of his people, so that the sons of Israel shall bring in their sacrifices, which they are sacrificing in the open field, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to the priest, and sacrifice them for sacrifices of peace offerings to Jehovah. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall burn the fat as incense for a sweet fragrance to Jehovah. And they shall not sacrifice their sacrifices any to goats after which they have gone whoring. Does that say whoring? It's whoring. I think that says whoring. Okay. After which they have gone whoring. All right. This is a never-ending statute to them throughout their generations. And you shall say to them, any man of the house of Israel or of aliens who sojourn in the midst, who offers burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it to Jehovah, that man shall be cut off from his people. And any man of the house of Israel or of the aliens who is staying in your midst, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person that eats blood and will cut him from his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood which makes atonement for the soul. For this reason I have said to the sons of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, and the alien who is staying in your midst shall not eat blood. And any man of the sons of Israel or of the aliens who stay in your midst, who catches venison, beast, or fowl, which is eaten, shall even pour out its blood and shall cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood is for its life. And I say to the sons of Israel, you shall not eat blood of any flesh. For the life of all flesh is in the blood. Anyone eating it is cut off. And any person who eats a dead body or torn thing, be he a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. Then he shall be clean. And if he does not wash them nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. Well, boy, that makes it sound like you're not supposed to eat meat or anything that has blood pumping through it. Although we did learn earlier that he said it was okay to hunt as long as you sacrifice some of it to him. And he's even saying in this, you know, you got to burn the fat as an incense and stuff. But here at the end, all of that, that made it sound like you should not. You should not be killing living creatures or trying to eat their blood. I think we're going to roll out one more chapter and we'll stop there. So we're going to hit 18 next. It's kind of long. 17 was pretty short. So moving on, chapter 18. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am Jehovah your God. You shall not do according to the doings of the land of Egypt in which you lived, and you shall not do according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, nor shall you walk in their statutes. You shall do my judgments, and you shall keep my statutes to walk in them. I am Jehovah your God, and you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if man do, he shall live by them. I am Jehovah. None of you shall draw near to any relative of his flesh to uncover their nakedness. I am Jehovah. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is the nakedness of your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, born at home or born away. You shall not uncover their nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. You shall not uncover their nakedness. Got theirs is your own nakedness. That doesn't sound right. Or your daughter's daughter. You shall not uncover their nakedness. Got theirs is your own nakedness. Because theirs is your own nakedness would maybe make more sense, but it does say God. There's typos in here. This was written by a scribe, so there's so many typos and just words out of place, words slammed together, words that, you know, maybe a bad interpretation of English. That obviously doesn't make sense there, but moving on. The nakedness of the daughter of your father's wife, begotten by your father, she is your... Turning the page. Yeah. She is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a sister of your father. She is a relative of your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not draw near to his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. You shall not undertake to uncover her son's daughter and her daughter's daughter. They are her relatives. It is wickedness. And you shall not take a wife with her sister to be a rival to her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. You shall not draw near to uncover the nakedness of a woman and her menstrual impurity. Whoa. So, guys, no more red wings. Knock it off, right? That's what he's saying, but don't do it. And you shall not give your semen to the wife of your neighbor for uncleanliness with her. And you shall not give your seed to set them apart to Moloch. No way. It says Moloch. Nor shall you pollute the name of your God. I am Jehovah. It does. It says Moloch, to set them apart to Moloch. So to evil. And you shall not give your seed to set them apart to Moloch. Literally says Moloch. And if you don't know who Moloch is, it's like the owl deity or entity or whatever. You know, the great owl. The superb owl. The Super Bowl. It's the grove. God, what is it called? Something Grove, Bohemian Grove, out there in California, where they have the giant wooden statue owl that's called Moloch. And if you remember, in Hillary Rodham Clinton's emails, she jokes around about sacrificing chickens in her backyard to Moloch. Something to think about. I don't know why that would be funny, but okay. And you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a woman. It is disgusting. Whoa! All right. So that's, we're on chapter 18 in Leviticus. And it's chapter 18, 23. So verse 23. And you shall not give your semen. Oh, whoops. 22. It's verse 22. And you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a woman. It is disgusting. And that's their interpretation too. So mind that, somebody that speaks Greek or Hebrew interpreted whatever the Greek or Hebrew word was into English as the word disgusting. So, okay. They're pretty firm on that there. But, yeah, okay. And you shall not give your semen with any animal for uncleanliness with it. Okay, so no bestiality. That doesn't seem like that one should be hard to understand. I don't think our society fully accepts that yet and shouldn't, but whatever. And a woman shall not stand before an animal to lie down with it. It is a shameful mixing. So all you ladies down there in Tijuana doing the donkey show, that's... Whoops. Do not defile yourself with all these, for with all these nations have been defiled, which I am casting out before you, and the land is defiled. And I will visit its antiquity on it. And the land is vomiting out its inhabitants. And you, you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of all these disgusting acts, neither the native nor the alien who is staying in your midst. For the men of the land who are before you have done all these disgusting things, and the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out for defiling it, as it has vomited out the nation that was before you. For anyone who does any of these disgusting things, even the persons who are doing them, shall be cut off from the midst of their people. And you shall keep my charge, so as not to do any of the disgusting customs which were committed before you. And you shall not defile yourselves with them. I am Jehovah, your God. All right, that's the end of chapter 18. I'm going to stop there, but dude, wow. Wow. A lot to unpack there, if you think about it. There is a lot to unpack there. But basically, everything he just said, or what was just said there, was it's kind of like talking about Babylon, right? Or America. Like, we're the new Babylon. Because everything it just said was a disgusting act are things that we currently in America are championing. Not all of us, but our media and our politicians are all for everything that was just called disgusting through that chapter. It's what they want. They call that equality and fair. Whereas God says, you will be punished should you choose to defile yourself or the land. We know better. We all know better. But I don't think we care anymore. I'm convinced now that this, we're in the end of Revelations. I just don't understand it another way. I look at the millennial rule of Christ, or what they tell us is the Dark Ages, which was about 1,000 years, as being that time period in which he was here and he did rule. So I look at it like this. Before the flood, people weren't living in shacks, right? They had buildings. There were cities. All that stuff was there. And the primary building block was brick. And brick is what they used to build the Tower of Babel. So there were many, many brick buildings, cities built out in brick. These all get destroyed in the flood. Then Jesus gets to rule for 1,000 years. He rebuilds everything. He even starts building cathedrals, these healing centers, all these unbelievable works of architecture. He rebuilds the brick that's still standing, and then they reface it with all this nice white marble and just make everything clean and beautiful. And we had free energy. It was the time to be on earth, I think. And then he has to leave after his 1,000 years. And I think that was somewhere, God, between the beginning of America, 1776. I think Jesus might have still been here when America was started. Personal belief. No one else has to follow me on that. That's my personal belief. Somewhere in the 1800s, between 1800 and 1850, I think Jesus left and Satan was released for his little season. Now, if Satan or Jesus ran 1,000 years or ruled for 1,000 years, and there's four seasons in a year, you could break his 1,000 years down into four seasons by 250 years apiece. And if Satan is released for a little season or for a short time, then to me that would mean that he's not going to get a full 250 years for his season, because he's getting a shortened season. And America been around just over 200 years, but under 250 years. Now 1976 would have been the 200-year mark. And from there till now, we're at 250 all day long. But like I said, I don't think 1776 is going to be your start date for that 200 years. I think it's going to be closer to 1800 or just after 1800, somewhere between there and 1850, when we have, I mean, think of the time period with like the orphan trains, right? That reset civilization, those pictures you see in the past, where there's all these people in suits, fully dressed. I mean, elegant gowns and dressed, but they're out on the beach and they don't have any towels. They got umbrellas. They're you would assume sunny out because it's bright, and I mean it's black and white. You can't tell, but you would assume that it's nice out. You wouldn't assume it's cold, because they are on the beach. There's no snow, but yet they're dressed like it's like they're all going to a ball. It just doesn't make any sense. So to me, this is the land that was just taken over, and these aren't just random people. These are the wealthy people. The people that were funding whatever army came in and destroyed the natives that lived here, killed. And I think the wealthy were probably being ran by Satan. So when he gets out, he immediately, from 1800, 1850, whenever he gets out, he immediately just starts destroying things. And I think that's when we have a huge war. I don't think it was World War I, because these orphan trains happened before that. I think World War I and World War II were them is like cleanup. Right? It's after the fact. So they go and they destroy pretty much everything Jesus had built, right? And they definitely kill all his followers. I don't know if you want to call them the Tartarians or what you want to call them, but that very well could be what that was. So they're going around Earth and wiping out these people. I don't think they killed all their kids. I think the kids were sent somewhere to be collected, or you know what I mean, gathered. And then after they killed everyone and wiped out, you know, went and cleaned out the bodies, moved out the cities, and just kind of did the best they could. Cleaned up the roads to the best that they could, you know what I mean? Not overly, but if you look at those old photos, there's nobody in them. and there's like dirt roads in the middle of these cities, but they're clean. There's not trash everywhere. There's not rubble everywhere. By the time the people move back in, before these orphan trains, everything's kind of cleaned up a little bit. And then you see all these people come in these suits and these gowns, looking like they're going to a ball. I think that was the upper class of whatever nation Satan was running that, you know, had the army that was going out and wiping out the remnants of the millennial reign. So after that, once they come in and reestablish themselves in the cities, and they're, you know, to them it's amazing because Jesus had built all these, this amazing infrastructure, all this free energy and stuff like that, right? So they come in, and that's why they have these world fairs, and they're just marveling in all this stuff, but they're also getting rid of it because moving forward, Satan's, you know, one of his jobs is to get rid of Jesus and the belief of Jesus. So I think that after that, what they're going to do is go around and just start destroying, you know what I mean, the remnants of what was left. And I think they're still doing it today. I think that's what ISIS and a lot of those CIA born terrorist groups or made terrorist groups, why they're going around and taking out all these, you know, UNESCO heritage sites, because they're still getting rid of the evidence. They don't want you to be able to look back and connect these dots and know that the direction we're going is so far away from what we were given that you would probably revolt if you knew the truth. And that's just me. That's what I think it is. Now, in Revelation, we obviously haven't gotten there, but I've seen this enough times and enough things. And well before I got into the Bible, I was looking at, you know, Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus and all these different prophets of the day. And they'd always go back to Revelations. They'd always kind of use Revelations to authenticate these guys' predictions or, you know, what they were saying. And one of the things that always struck me was with Edgar Cayce saying that, you know, at the end, that there was going to be a major war, that America would be attacked. In his version, we're going to get attacked off the West Coast, and then there's going to be some kind of fight that moves towards that coast from us that's going to repel that attack. But when we repel it, we're going to be notified that there's an attack on the East Coast now too. And according to Edgar Cayce, the army that fought off the West was just going to get larger and larger and larger as it moved to the East, and it finally got there and was going to win that battle too. So, okay, you know what I mean? But in Revelations, the end times comes down to Gog and Magog. And Gog is the leader of a nation, Magog is his nation. And Magog's army is supposed to be larger than every speck of sand on all the shores of all the beaches of Earth. We don't have that many people in any facet right now. Like, we cannot, there's just not a way to compete with those numbers. So I don't think that Gog represents a man or a nation as we know men and nations to be. I think that Gog represents science. I think science is Gog. And I think Magog is the nation of what science is going to develop. And by that I mean biological and chemical weapons. So when the air is filled with those, and it talks about this near the end of Revelations, that it's going to get to a point where it's so bad God has to come. The people won't live, right? The people are all going to die. So God has to come down, and those still left on the earth are going to die or leave earth with an unnatural death. They're not going to die on earth. They're just going to be taken, right? And in my mind, that means that they're going to screw up the atmosphere, the air that we have under this dome so bad that just breathing it in is going to be deadly. I think it's going to have so much biological and chemical particulates and matter in it that it will contaminate the entire dome. And that's why God's going to have to pull us out of there. It's going to have to be a total wash, a complete new reset. He's going to have to pull man off. He's going to split the dome back open like he did when he flooded it. When you look up, you see that blue streak across the sky. They tell you it's the Milky Way. That's not the Milky Way. That's a dome above you. And that blue line you see, that's the scar from where the sky was split last time. The little blue speckles you're seeing, that's the water above us shining through. It goes across the sky like a rainbow, as a bow. And that's why the rainbow
is a symbol of the covenant God made with earth to never do that again. It's why you're supposed to circumcise yourself, so that your phallus represents a dome on top. That's what the three I guess territories on earth that aren't considered parts of their nations, Washington, D.C., the City of London, and the Vatican, all have these huge phalluses like the Washington Monument, which are uncircumcised phalluses. They come to a point at the top. They are a symbol that there is no covenant with God here. It's to spite God. You know what I mean? Sorry if you can hear my dog sucking up water in the background. Rose, go lay down. She can drink in just a second. She's fine. But I think that's all what that is. And I think we're there. I think that's what we're waiting on now. The World War III is supposed to start in the Middle East. And I would say that right now they are gung-ho for that. I can't think in my lifetime. I don't know if it's been worse than yours. You may be older than me. I'll turn 43 at the end of this month. But I can't think of a period in my lifetime where the Middle East was as close to going into a full-blown war as they are now. And I honestly cannot remember a time that Israel had a problem with Palestine in the way that they always have, where there was so much support for Palestine in America. That is stunning to me. It's always seemed to be Palestine was kind of considered the terrorist or whatever, and Israel was considered the good guys. Even though if you go back and you look at it, Israel occupied, so nations outside of the nation of Palestine decided that that was going to be where the Israelites were going, went in and took over a piece of their land with force, moved in the Israelites or the Jews, and ever since then, they have slowly just taken over that entire country. When they got there, they had maybe 10% of it. Now the Palestinians have maybe 10% of it. So if you don't know why the Palestinians or Hamas is pissed and is going after Israel and wants them gone, stop thinking about them in the terms that you've been hearing about them, and start thinking about them in terms that would better relate to where you're from. Israel is the Europeans, and the Palestinians are the Native Americans. The Europeans, Israelites, came into the natives' lands, the Palestinians' lands, and took over. Right? In America, there was Thanksgiving. We sat down, allegedly, and had this great meal with them just before we slaughtered all of them and took their lands. They are now relegated to pockets of space, like the Palestinians are. We're literally watching the same thing happen again, and the people that are being genocided are being called the terrorists. Just like in America, when we were wiping out the natives, we didn't use words like terrorists back then. We called them savages. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new at all. All right, we'll see you next time. I hope you all have a great month, a great holiday season, and a great night. May God be with you. Goodbye.